stories at townhall.com.
Good morning on I-295 North at 103rd Street. We're looking at a crash on the right. Also 295 North on the Dames Point Bridge. There's a crash that is causing delays if you're headed that way. A mix of sun and clouds today. Humid and a high near 90. Thunderstorms by afternoon. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 76. And currently it is 76 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump says he'll have a Supreme Court nominee by July the 9th. A strong U.S. economy will contribute to the expected rise in travel this holiday weekend here in Florida, according to AAA. And starting this week, there will be a new budget and dozens of new laws that are poised to take effect here in the Sunshine State.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
All right, everybody's going to be enjoying the week this, are you taking off? Okay, Wednesday we're taking off from the show, but I mean, it's not like I'm union. I can't take off Thursday and Friday, but exactly. Everybody keeps asking, am I going to be on radio this week? I'm like, where else am I going to go?
So, yeah, those who are not on the air, they can just hang out. but I'll probably end up doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes too, even if I can log in from home and do it.
But, I wish you'd do more behind the scenes. Anyways, triple.
How busy do you want me to be?
I'm kidding with you. 222-TALK, 222-8255, the email address, ed at WBOB.com. A lot of new laws take place this week here in the state of Florida. I know many of you always focus on national issues, but yet there are some big state laws that have been signed into effect. You've got a $90 billion budget. But another big one that deals with the issue of education has to deal with school vouchers. The nation's first private school voucher program for bullied students takes effect this week. It allows students who are victims of bullying and other violence to transfer to a different public school or receive a private school voucher through the Hope Scholarship Program. That means first come, first serve. I wonder how many people are going to be lined up going, yeah, my kid's getting beat up or my kid's just getting verbally bullied. Can I get a private school voucher?
I'm sure there's going to have to be some kind of documentation where
charter school voucher.
Where kids have been taken, you know, reported. There's been suspensions and that kind of thing with the bullying students. But it's relentless. Tracking their social media, that kind of thing.
Well, but hold on. I wonder if there we're going to get to this here in a few moments. The school board member Erica Donald is also a CRC commissioner. Because I want to talk about some of the inflated scores that's been talked about here throughout the state of Florida. But before I get to that, I would love to see, if we could get it accurately now, I would love to see school districts have to report, okay, here's kids that are leaving the public school wanting to go to a school of choice, whether it's a private school and or a charter school, and the reasons why. Those are what I would like to see. What are the top tier issues? Is it bullying? Discipline?
Yeah, it probably would be bullying would be a top one. That's a major concern right now with parents. Even with private school students, there's a lot of bullying that goes on, unfortunately.
Yeah, so that's you understand where I'm going with this. I would love to see the reports. Here on our newsmaker line, Erica Donalds is a very, very well-known commentator here in Florida. She is a Collier County School Board member and also a member of the Constitutional Revision Commission. First off, Erica, good to have you on today. I'm kind of curious about that. You're a very popular school board member. Is it too early to tell? What is normally the number one issue if a parent's not happy with their children at school? Is it because they want to send them to a charter school or a private school? Is it based on grades? Is it based on disciplinary? Do we even have an accurate number in many school districts?
Well, thanks for having me on, Ed.
Yes.
I, as a school board member, have heard such a myriad of issues of why parents want an alternative for their student. As a person who started a charter school here, most of those parents would say that the public school is not meeting their child's needs, whether that's their needs academically or socially. If there are discipline issues in the school and that is causing a problem for their student, whether they have some kind of a special need when it comes to academics or learning disabilities and the schools are not taking care of those. But discipline is certainly an issue. Certainly in some of the schools that have more problems than others, you see parents wanting a way out, whether it's through a charter school or a private school voucher.
Erica Donald's here on our newsmaker line. So this is kind of a funny question. Roger and I were covering this story last week. You saw where the Florida Education, the Teachers Union, the Florida Education Association came out last week, says, we're not going to support any candidates unless they advocate. And by the way, you know, who could be against, you know, teacher increase for pay and when they teach school? But they said unless it's in the budget, which, you know, they didn't talk about whether or not you have to raise taxes or whatever. Are all the teachers union? I mean, you travel throughout the state. Is pretty much the majority of teachers unions in each county, do they pretty much abide by the same, or do any of them go rogue and sit back and say, you know, I kind of agree with somewhat conservatives like Erica Donalds and things like that? Or are they pretty much all the same, Erica?
I would say they're all the same. They're all in the same messaging. They all care about treating every teacher the same, regardless of their performance or their impact on students and student achievement. And unfortunately, what we see is across the board, they want teacher raises. We all want to pay teachers more, especially great teachers. The problem with the unions is that they will not allow us to differentiate between great teachers and lazy teachers, which
wow.
do exist. And our ability to reward those great teachers for getting excellent results. Also, we want to pay teachers, the best ones, to go into our highest need schools or our highest need areas, like our STEM areas. And the union will not allow that either. So they say they care about students, but really they're fighting for the adults and the needs of the adults in the schools.
Erica Donalds is a Collier County School Board member, also a commissioner for the Constitutional Revision Commission, which meets every 20 years. We broke this story last week on FloridaDaily.com, a lot of other newspapers throughout the state, especially the areas which you guys talked about. The Florida Coalition of School Board Members, which is a great group, it's kind of like the opposite of the teachers unions here in the state of Florida. There was a report going on that one of your colleagues, Sean Frost, who's another school board member, where you've got, they've looked at Polk County and other counties, especially in Duval County, where how does a school rank number 30 go to number 2 within a year based on school grades? The Florida Coalition of School Board Members thinks, hey, listen, we think some of these grades are inflated. Kind of interested, is this something that just kind of raises red flags? Is there any proof? Is there more news ready to come out on this or what?
Well, the purpose of the school grades is to give transparency to parents to know how their school is performing. And unfortunately, some of the schools have decided to game the system this year when it comes to civics education, which is so important to the public. I've heard it in traveling around the state. For instance, one school in Duval County that tested 144 students last year for civics in seventh grade and only got a 47% passage rate decided that this year they're only going to test 44 students, and they're going to rave about a 95% passage rate when they actually passed less students this year than they did last year because they decided to sideline the kids who they thought would not pass.
You know, with this, and forgive me, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. If you try to, for example, if let's say that other students, let's say that they're in low-income communities out there, they're not doing well in school, they need to be tested. But in order to get their grades up, which means they get more money, they will dissect and not allow those kids either to be tested or reported, which means they inflate their numbers out there. As you point out, they game the system, or their fraudulent numbers out there. This is an embarrassment. And yet, if you wanted to accurately, Erica, which you've talked about before, to gauge whether a community's doing well, you can't just do one group versus the other. You've got to include everybody in that group to find out if the schools are good, if the teachers are good, or the community is not doing its job.
That's absolutely correct. And the biggest concern about these schools is that the state of Florida had put in, as you know, Schools of Hope and some other accountability measures for these persistently low-performing schools. Of course, we're talking about schools that are near 100% economically disadvantaged, mostly minority students. And to lie to both the public and the state to avoid accountability, avoid Schools of Hope in providing an alternative to the families in those communities, is not the intent of the law. The school districts know it, and they should be honest about these tactics. In sidelining these students is absolutely wrong and unethical. It may be technically legal, but this is the problem with having school board members and school districts that do not adhere to the spirit of the law, but simply circumvent the law to serve their own purpose.
Yeah, how do you not grade those in low-income areas? Because, I mean, are we put in a stigma that we just automatically think that they're not going to be able to properly adjust with the marketplace of education to increase a local school district numbers? I mean, was this something where, I mean, it's kind of interesting, Erica. Do they sit back and go, well, if they're from a low-income area or a certain color, we think they're going to drag the grades down. We don't want to lump them into our school testing?
That's exactly what happened,
wow.
Ed, with this situation. They've decelerated these mostly economically advantaged, mostly students of color, and push them back a year to take civics in the eighth grade. Now, there's technically nothing wrong with that if it were a policy that were made across the board. It was not. They selected students they believe would pass the test so that they could boost their school grade for this one year and avoid the accountability system, avoid Schools of Hope, and get unearned school improvement dollars for their schools.
I read, I think it was the Times Union or Jacksonville.com, I think one of the school officials, not a school board member, but one of the school officials said they really couldn't answer. They said, we need to kind of check this out. What has been some of the responses by the teachers unions from your all's report as of last week?
Well, you know, the teachers unions decry when schools hold back kids in the third grade for not being able to read, which is our retention year. They decry that practice. But they're applauding the practice of holding back these seventh grade students from taking the civics exam because they're assumed to fail. So they're completely hypocritical on this issue because all they really care about is the money and the power and not losing these students to alternatives that could perform better in their communities. Thankfully, we have a state representative, Jason Fisher, and six others who have put in a letter to the Department of Education calling for an official investigation of the issue.
All right. This is a big news story. I'm surprised that most of a lot of the other media didn't cover it here in the state. Erica Donalds, who we always enjoy have come on, got to see her over the weekend at the Sunshine Summit. She was great. Her and her husband are great. He's my new BFF, by the way.
Is he now?
He's all, yeah, man. He comes. He's cool, man. I like your husband. Stay rep. I mean, he's good. So, Byron.
He did an amazing job at the Sunshine Summit. It was an awesome opportunity for him to be on the stage and speak amongst all of those wonderful speakers that we had at that great event.
So you know what he did so good. People were like ready to pass an offering plate. Man, he was getting amens and hallelujahs.
It was a great day for the Donald family. Byron Donald, I'm proud of him.
Erica Donald, I know Erica Donald, Collier County School Board member, also with the Fuller Coalition of School Board Members, CRC Commissioner. Good to have you on today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, man. Yeah, Byron, we've had him on the show. He's a black conservative, young, and he was saying that people. He goes, "I'm going to." And I said, "I asked him, what's your speech going to be about?" He goes, "Listen, I'm like you. I'm going to get some amens and some hallelujahs." I was just like, "Wow, I love it." And he doesn't come across that way like you think. He was just vibrant out there.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, like State Representative Mike Hill, he wins in a predominant white community, which shows that you don't need all this voting rights and all the act and things like that based on an issue of skin color. Again, it's based on the issue of ideas, and he's a black conservative. And folks, if you know about the Naples area, Roger, Fort Myers, it is a very predominant white wealthy community, and this guy wins. I mean, he wins big time. So what
That's
does that
good.
Say about the marketplace?
Mm-hmm.
Your call is coming up next at 222-TALK, 222-8255 Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 North 103rd Street, there's a crash on the right and on the Dames Point Bridge going north. Another accident causing some backup this morning. Traffic being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. God's peace has been made available to you. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God doesn't want you to be anxious or worried. Prayer is the key to the peace of God. You can pray believing you have received from God. Then the very peace of God comes to place a guard over your heart and mind so that you have no need to be worried or anxious. Trust God.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com.
Are you searching for a church where the music and the message are God-honoring? Do you want to hear expository preaching with verse-by-verse presentation of God's Word? If you have said yes to these questions, then you are invited to worship at First Conservative Baptist Church, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, just 1 mile south of I-295. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor, founder, invites you to worship
A mix of sun and clouds today, humid, and then thunderstorms by afternoon. We'll have a high of around 90 degrees. Partly cloudy this evening, on overnight low of 76. And currently it is 76 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A strong U.S. economy will contribute to the expected rise in travel this holiday week here in Florida, according to AAA. Starting this week, it'll be a new budget and dozens of new laws that are poised to take effect here in the Sunshine State. And President Trump says he'll have a Supreme Court nominee by July the 9th.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/WBOB. Download the app. Go to wbob.com. It is free. You can listen to us on your smartphones and Android phones. 222-TALK. Let's go to the phones. 904-222-8255. Rod. Hey, Rod. Good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, that's good. I just wanted to call attention to ABC and its supposed objectivity. They have George Stephanopoulos, former press secretary for William Jefferson Clinton, as an anchor, not as an analyst or a commentator, but as an anchor. And then they had Chris Cuomo on Good Morning America. I don't think he's there anymore, but his brother Andrew is that radical left-wing governor of the state of New York. I'm a native New Yorker, by the way. And the brother Andrew said, pro-lifers are not welcome in this state. I mean, that's some kind of objectivity. And it's ridiculous, so much for ABC. And the rest of them, you're perfectly right, MSNBC, CNN, et cetera. They ain't objective.
Let me ask a question. So let me play the both sides argument here. So let's say it's Stephanopoulos, you got Chris Cuomo, and he's kind of interesting to watch on CNN. But yet, for example, you look at Fox, you've got many of those individuals who have worked in previous administrations. In fact, some of those have worked on Fox are now working for the Trump, like Heather Nauer and John Bolton and others. When somebody asks you that, Rod, how do you respond?
I say they're commentators, not anchors. They're welcome to comment. Anyone should be identified as a commentator. No problem whatsoever. Van Jones, I mean, talk about a radical. Let him comment. Andrew Napolitano, let him comment, but not as an anchor. I'm sorry. There's no way that George Stephanopoulos can be an anchor.
All right, so he says, now, I might have a little bit of difference there. Is Andrew, Chris Cuomo has his own show, Primetime Cuomo.
Right.
He may be a news anchor, but at night it's somewhat of an opinion show.
Exactly.
Don Lemon, he's described as a news anchor, but it's opinionated. All the other guys, I mean, they're opinionated. I mean, I think that they separate between all that, but there is a question that I would have to ask, or maybe in somewhat agree, is when we look at stuff during the day when people are watching, we don't want editorializing. We just, on both sides. We want to cover both sides. I mean, why is it that the left, in some cases, doesn't seem to be as critical of their own, but yet you've had Neil Cavuto, you've got other conservatives been very critical of President Trump on his tweeting and maybe his trade policies. I mean, it's again, it seems like there's always this Republican divide, but they never talk about the divide on the left, especially since all these progressives are winning elections, ticking off Democrats.
Right. You know what? I don't think that's the case 100% of the time. Who was the guy, Craig, with NBC, who gave former President Clinton a really good interview and challenged him on some things, and it got Clinton a little upset.
Yeah, that was a good interview. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Craig Melvin.
Yeah, Craig Melvin.
And then, although I'm not saying I agree with him on everything, Anderson Cooper sometimes gives the left,
I think Jake Tapper does a decent job. Uh-huh. I mean, we know where they're coming from.
Right.
And people have asked, Ed, out of your years as an editor for newspapers and also on radio, is it gotten worse? Yeah, but I mean, what we've seen is more editorializing in the news report. When I do articles for Florida Daily as one of their editors, I call it both ways. Now, people know where we stand, Roger. People know where you stand, but we try to apply it so we don't, or not part of that crowd that gets accused.
Exactly.
A lot of people, conservatives on the South, they know where we stand, but Ed, you don't give an opinion. Nobody cares about my opinion. I'm a news host here. Your opinion is what matters at 222 Talk, 222-8255. Roger's opinion that matters. I'm a host. I ask both sides as to proclaim, because again, if the accusations about the left that they're not fair and balanced, well, then you should be able to sit back and say, hey, you know, Ed's fair and balanced.
Yeah.
That's all. That's a great compliment.
Yeah, it is a compliment. But I think at the end of the day, we just need to respect the fact that people watching, people listening, are intelligent enough to see through some of the spin. And then draw their own conclusions.
Let's go to George. Hey, George, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, good morning. I've told you before, I lived in Mexico, Peru, and in Colombia. And in Peru, the Shining Path socialists tried to take over, and the business people said no. They shut them down. Same thing happened in Colombia, although the FARC communists are part of the government now. We'll see how that works out. And, of course, it failed in Venezuela. It's a disaster living there, and they want to come here. We need the wall. In Mexico, it's a strange situation. 100 years ago, someone came over from Stalin's group, Trotsky, and took over the teachers' unions and the universities and media and arts. And he said, well, I don't want to kill people so quickly as Stalin did. I want a slow conversion of the country to communism, socialism. And that's what's happened in Mexico. Trump has been great being a populist capitalist and talking about safety and following through on those things. He's made a good country here. The socialist communist president just elected promises same things as Trump. Now, he won't deliver all of it, but he can deliver getting rid of the cartels and the murders and the rapes. Even China did that when England sold them opioids and ruined the whole country, and that's one of the reasons Mao took power in China. And the pre and pan parties are just like the swamp part of the Democrats and Republicans here. They promised everything, and they did not deliver. They made a mess. Any progress in Mexico on crime, like in Monterey, a few places are good, were because the business people got together and told the government, we've had enough of you, we're not going to pay taxes. And so we have to watch carefully what happens in Mexico, and frankly, we better think seriously about building the wall.
Yeah. George brings up an interesting point. Why are socialists, why are they dominating in Central America, which they've been doing for years, and why are they gaining more? Can I just throw out a little history here for the audience? Have you ever noticed it goes from bad to worse, from socialist policies to real bad socialist policies? Yes, there are certain levels of and they do communist, whatever. Because I don't throw that word around. And the reason why I'm saying is, as bad as if you want to call it dictatorship, as bad as the government reign in Mexico is, it's going to get worse now because this guy's a big time socialist. If you notice, for example, Khrushchev, when Khrushchev would beat his shoe on the table, Khrushchev was a major communist, correct?
Right.
But he used to blame Stalin and Lenin's past. Wait a second. I mean, okay, so there weren't as many millions that died underneath Khrushchev, but millions died because of communist reign. You know what I'm saying? They always blame the previous guy. You ever notice that?
Right.
But they had the same type of beliefs in the same type of, if you want to call it, dictatorship or communist area. Look at Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat was a terrorist out there. They took the money. They did not properly help out those in the communities of the PLO and the Palestinians. And then you got Hamas, who's more radical than the PLO, saying, well, those guys did such a bad job. Elect us.
Right.
And now, I'm not equating Democrats with terrorists. I'm just using this as an example. The Democrats do a horrible job of not winning an election. They can't seem to get their base together. Now they're bad going to worse with the progressives winning in many ways.
Right.
So you understand what's going on here of what's taking place. It's always where, well, it's my same party, but the guy that did it before, he stunk.
Right.
But give it to me. But knowing that you're going from bad to worse.
Hmm.
That's the interesting thing. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but what I find so stunning, though, is why would anyone vote for socialist government when there are examples around the world of how horrible the people have to live?
Well, because they made socialist government sound sexy.
Mm.
I mean, for example, it's like, well, we want to give free education. Okay, but you say, hey, I'm going to give free education, but I'm going to tax the rich, not the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tax the rich and make them pay for it. But everybody knows the middle class is going to have to down the road. But it sounds good.
Mm.
It's a great speech. 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 going south at Gate Parkway, a broken down car. 95 south at St. Augustine Road, there's another car with engine trouble.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Frank White, the conservative we can trust.
I'm Frank White, and I'm tired of the politicians playing by their own rules and lacking the courage to do the right thing. Liberal judges and elites threaten the Constitution and mock our values. We need principled conservatives who will stand up for us and fight to hold politicians accountable. That's why I support term limits and President Trump's fight against the special interests. I've stood up for the Constitution and said no to the politicians who wanted to take away our Second Amendment rights. That's why I'm proud to have the NRA's highest A-plus rating. And as a husband, father to three boys, I'll always fight for the rights of the unborn because I'm 100% pro-life. Some people just talk the talk in campaign season, but as a lifelong conservative, dedicated to the Constitution, you'll always know where I stand. I'm Frank White. Join me. Let's fight back and hold government accountable to we the people.
Sponsored by United Conservatives.
Ashley, I just love your new furniture. This room looks amazing.
Thanks so much. Emily suggested I look at the Furniture Gallery in Orange Park, and wow, I'm so glad I did. Not only do they carry the brands I love, but their prices are so much better than what I was seeing at all the big box stores.
Find your inspiration at the Furniture Gallery, 1956 Kingsley Avenue in Orange Park. For a limited time, a free can of beeswax furniture polish with any purchase, a $12.95 value, one per customer.
Why do we call it small business? Why not agile business? Nimble business? Dance circles around the big bulky behemoths business. Ooma Office, the small business phone solution, has a virtual receptionist to direct calls to the right extension and a mobile app to help you answer while away from the office. But all that's small really is the price, starting at only $19.95 a month. Visit Ooma.com, that's OOMA, or call 866-649-9377 to find out more. Ooma. The phone your small business deserves.
A mix of sunshine and clouds for most of the day. Humid and a high of 90. Then thunderstorms roll in by late afternoon. Partly cloudy and an overnight low of 76. Right now it is 76 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Coming up next, he is a contributor on Fox Business News. Our good friend David Williams, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. It's this whole things with the Supreme Court. Everybody's making this about abortion, and David's telling people, wait a second, there's a lot of things coming down the pike, like the issue of regulations and things of that nature. This whole issue of free speech was a big issue, which took place this term. It's not all going to be relevant around abortion. We'll talk about that. President Trump says phase two of the tax cuts, he wants to drop the corporate tax rate from 21 to 20. But does that really do anything to turn the economy around? What does that do for your back pocket? We'll talk about that coming up next. 222-TALK, 222-8255, email address ed at WBOB.com, 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Some Republican senators voicing doubts about any Supreme Court nominee would favor overturning Roe versus Wade. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina saying that he considers Roe to be settled law. Canada imposing tariffs on $12.6 billion worth of U.S. imports. A wide range of American products are affected. Mexico has a new president, a leftist who won by a wide margin. The Los Angeles Lakers have a new superstar, LeBron James, signing a four-year, $154 million contract with Los Angeles. On Wall Street right now, stock futures deep in the red. Dow futures down about 185 points. NASDAQ futures off 46. And S&P futures down 14.5 points. More details at srnnews.com.
On I-295 going north at 103rd Street, there's an accident on the right. We can see on the traffic cam, traffic is building. I-10 east at Chaffee Road, another accident. And in St. Johns County, 95 south at mile marker 331, there's a broken down car. Some sunshine and clouds today, humid and a high of 90, thunderstorms by afternoon. partly cloudy this evening with an overnight low of 76. And right now it is 76 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A strong U.S. economy will contribute to the expected rise in travel this holiday week here in Florida, according to AAA. Starting this week, there will be a new budget and dozens of new laws that are poised to take effect here in the Sunshine State. And President Trump says he'll have a Supreme Court nominee by July 9th.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Before we get to David Williams, who is a contributor for the Fox Business News and also president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, how well, when we talk about the economy all the time, Roger Henderson, when it comes to a rate of return, you know, banks really don't give you anything out there. Fixed index annuities certainly don't really give you a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But for the average Joe out there, how well is the economy doing when you phase it by the area of returns from a company based on with what's going on with the stock market? CNBC Seema Moody says it's doing real well, even with the issue of tariffs and other things that have been bringing down at least the market some days.
Strategists are still bullish on this market is the reduction in the corporate tax rate. Take a look at this chart. The stock market climbed about 16% in anticipation of the tax cut, then consolidated a bit once we got the final announcement. Overall, S&P 500 has gained 28% since President Trump was elected, and the tech sector leading the way. It's really been seen as a large beneficiary of the tax cut. That's pushed the Nasdaq on this winning streak, now higher by over 8%. In 2018, small businesses that are more domestically oriented also have been given a boost by this lower tax rate.
Here on our Newsmaker line, David Williams, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. You know, you cover a lot as far as the economics because in your protectingtaxpayers.org, which we cover a lot on floridadaily.com, you guys really break down a lot of issues when it comes to economics and spending and a lot what's going on out there. I mean, even with the market going up and down, it's still this year, the average Joe in many of these areas would have gotten an 8% rate of return on their money.
Now, listen, the tax cuts have done an amazing job for the economy. And it reminds me of a conversation we had in December when the tax cuts were actually signed into law. Is you had a caller call, and I don't know if you remember this, but he owned a concrete company. And he said over the last number of years, he had to let a lot of people go. But because of reduced regulations and the tax cuts, he was getting ready to hire more people. And to me, that was a great example of why the tax cuts meant so much to this country, that you have small businesses that were excited for these tax cuts. They were going to start rehiring. And listen, it's a combination of, as I said, regulatory relief, but the tax cuts really were the impetus. And do you remember that conversation? I know you get a lot of callers, but
yeah,
it really stuck in my mind that this is why small businesses needed the tax cut.
As long as I'm not in the concrete, that's all I care about. So now, but, you know, it's the president. Let me play clip number two here. The president was on with Sunday Morning Futures over the weekend with Maria Bartiromo, a question about a phase two of tax cuts. Listen to clip number two.
We've seen the impact to the economy. What do you want to see happen now? Does the economy need even more stimulus? Are you looking for a phase two tax?
We're doing a phase two. We'll be doing it probably in October, maybe a little sooner than that. And it'll be more of a middle class. We did a lot for the middle class, but this will be even more aimed at the middle class. One of the things we're thinking about is bringing the 21% down to 20. And then for the most part, the rest of it would go right to the middle class. It's a great stimulus.
Okay, so I'm a little confused what the rest of it, I mean, maybe the rest of the tax cuts. Larry Kudlow, senior economic advisor with the president, says maybe look at more individual rates, the capital gains. But, I mean, let me play a skeptic here. 21 to 20%, yeah. Is that, I mean, can we just find something that might be a little bit more stronger if you want to stimulate the economy a lot more?
So I think that's a small part of it. That's not going to be it. We have to make these tax cuts permanent. Remember, these expire in 2025. So I think, and what he failed to mention, we're making the individual tax cuts permanent. But if you look at corporations, I would say bring it down to 15%. I think that's obviously a bigger jump, numbers-wise, but I think just mentality of businesses, because other countries are going to respond to our 21%. And they're already moving. Australia is moving to bring down their corporate tax rate. So we still have to remain competitive. Listen, to be competitive, you can't just do something and be happy with it. The last time we did this was 31 years ago. So it'd be great if we could see it brought down to 15%. But there's indexing to capital gains, taxes to capital gains. So there's a lot that can be done between now and the election. Will it be done? Who knows? But at least start the process.
You know, the left is out over the weekend, and some Republicans are maybe buying into, like, Susan Collins about whether or not the whole issue. Yeah, Susan Collins, Republican, believe it or not, from Maine. Let me play for you clip number five. This whole issue about the Supreme Court, Justice Kennedy, and all the other things, again, seems to be revolved around one issue, abortion. This is what she said, that she will not support any nominee by President Trump if he's hostile, if anything, of Roe versus Wade. Clip number three.
Roe v. Wade to be settled law. I would not support a nominee who demonstrated hostility to Roe v. Wade, because that would mean to me that their judicial philosophy did not include a respect for established decisions, established law.
Now, this is understandably so, David. This is a campaign piece being used by the left. It's all about abortion. But yet you're on TV, you're on talk radio. You have said, hey, guys, wait a second. Issues coming in front of the court, possibly maybe later this year, and decisions next year could have something to do with more of the unions, which we'll get into in a moment. Freedom of speech may deal with overregulation, maybe dealing with the legalization of marijuana, but I don't see the abortion issue coming up on the radar as of now.
No, it won't. The only reason the abortion issue comes up is because it's an election year. It's not going to be before the Supreme Court, and if something happens with Roe v. Wade, states are going to decide, and guess what? There are no states that are going to outlaw abortion. So I think that this is just a red herring for the elections. And listen, the thing that really concerned me the most last week in their decision with the Janus, I mean, obviously I like, you know, how they
explain to the audience what the Janus was again one more time.
This is the union issue in Illinois being forced to pay union dues when you don't want to join the union, if you're a state worker. So the problem is that I think it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, this is a bad day for unions. Wait a second. That's not your job as a Supreme Court justice to have a good or bad day for the unions. You're supposed to decide on what is constitutional and what isn't, and what, you know, free speech is. So that was really disturbing to me, that they were concerned about the impact this would have on the unions. They should not care about the future of the unions.
Does this have just a partial win for the free market? I mean, what is next on the union front now when it comes to dues and freedom of speech? I mean, is there more cases, or was this pretty much a trip or a home run for those out there that just don't want their money being taken, using for activities they don't want anything to support?
So the left is very concerned that more states are going to be right to work, and that means that you don't have to join a union to get these state jobs or the construction projects. I got to tell you, I also am looking forward to the right to work. I think this is going to free up a lot of taxpayer resources, because taxpayers are forced to pay a lot of benefits to union members and to state employees. So I think this is going to have a huge fiscal impact in the states. And how interesting that this came out of Illinois, a state that is absolutely bankrupt, that needs this kind of taxpayer relief when it comes to union dues and these benefits.
You know, would you answer me the question? You know, the unions keep talking about how that they're losing membership, they're being hurt by the right to work. It's always these right-wing Republicans. And yet still the biggest area of group of individual, well, it is a union, but the biggest area group of political donations, they're not the Koch brothers. In fact, they're like, what, number 50? The number ones, of course, are the unions out there. Yet if their numbers are dwindling, how do they still become the most powerful, massive group out there giving out campaign donations?
Well, because they've had this gravy train for decades, that they've had a constant flow of money. And what happened last week was, well, guess what? The spigot may be turned off, is that the money may not be flowing into the unions as much as previously. So they're going to have to make decisions. Unions will have to make decisions whether they remain political or not. So we'll see if they have the same political clout. And listen, they may spend the exact same money on political activity. You know what that means? That means less money for their union people. So I think they're at a crossroads right now.
All right. So, yeah, that's why I was just kind of, by the way, when people notice that all these right to work, isn't it interesting? And it should be left to the states. But Congress, even with all the Republicans, can't seem to even get their act together? Or is it supposed to be just failing at the U.S. Senate level when it comes to dealing with certain issues of unions here in this country?
Yeah, it's still going to be an issue for people in the states. It's going to be an issue for us. And you know, the left is saying we can't replace the justice until, I think, the next two presidential elections. I mean, they're absolutely ridiculous saying we can't replace the justice, and this is just a case of sour grapes.
Hey, by the way, real quick, anything that we should be looking, it's now the first week in July, anything, and I probably assume Congress isn't going home during August, are they?
Well, so Mitch McConnell kind of, you know, put the line in the sand that they're going to stay in August, but I think maybe the first week will be a symbolic first week in August. They'll be in D.C., but they'll go home. I mean, it's an election year, and Republicans are very worried about their chances, and, you know, they want to keep the House and Senate. So don't worry. If you come to Washington, D.C. in August, it's not going to be that crowded.
All right. Hey, real quick. I hate to maybe sound like I agree with Chuck Schumer, but even the Democrats even admit that they've got a tough time of even picking up seats in the U.S. Senate. If you may have a few defectors, like maybe depending on Flake and Susan Collins and who knows who else, maybe Corker, why not wait till like maybe Rick Scott and a few of the red state Democrats lose to ensure maybe there's going to be that bar of success that Trump can get a good nominee picked? Why not wait till after the election?
No, do it now. You know, get it done now before the for the fall Supreme Court. And listen, blue wave, red wave, it's going to be a green wave because of the money, because of the economy, and people are going to say, you know something, these tax cuts really worked. Why would I mess that up?
A green wave. Yes, I want to be like Thurston Howell III, even if I have to live on an island in the middle of the Pacific that's not in uncharted waters. As long as I'm that wealthy, that's fine.
I feel more like Gilligan at times.
Wow. I won't tell you who looks like the skipper. Not Roger, but somebody. Anyway, no, it's not getting to do with that. Okay, more as we continue to move on. David Williams from the Taxpayers Protection Line. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks, Ed.
I used to look like the skipper, man, but not anymore, man.
Yeah, you lost a lot of weight.
I lost some all the weight and kept it down and everything else. So anyway, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Can I ask a question? There is a, which we're going to get into, several of you have been emailing me, hey, Ed, where's there a list of all these new, there's 105 new Florida laws that are taking place this week. You could go to, I think, one of the websites. I mean, I know we got it off of our friends at News4Jax or some other websites. You can Google it. But one of the big issues is the new school we had from the Constitutional Revision Commissioner and school board member, Erica Donalds, about the bullying law, where, again, it is the first in the nation where if your kid, he or she is being bullied, you can send him to a school of choice, charter or a private school, to use that type of a voucher. I like to ask the question. We have a lot of teachers listening to this radio show. To you parents out there right now, I am not sure. Yes, some everybody thinks that we know it all. We don't know it all, okay? But here's the question. I would love to see a report or a statistic or what have you heard. If parents are sending, and just give me one, not four or five, but if you had to pick one, Roger, right now at over 2018, 2016, 2017, why are parents taking their kids out of the public school and putting them into a charter school, mm-hmm. which is overseen by the local public school district,
right?
Or why they put them in a private school? Is it based on local grades? Is it based on your child's being bullied? Is it based on you don't think there's enough money being spent? Do you believe the disciplinary? Do you blame the teacher? I'm kind of curious, what have you heard? If there's just one, if there was one higher than the other, Roger, what would it be?
You know what? My suspicion will be the reason they always have. A lot of public school teachers, by the way, pay the tuition to send their kids to private
Correct.
School. And I believe the reason why more than any other is they don't like the social environment in the public schools.
Oh, you know what? That's another one we didn't throw. So what is that? Five right there. So I'm mm-hmm. curious to listen from you this morning at 222-TALK, 222-8255, whether you have personally, you've moved your children over, or let's say at the water cooler at work or church, you've sat back and said, yeah, I hang out with families and they say it's disciplinary, or it's the school safety, or mm-hmm. is there one higher than the other? And I want to know what you think, because that's what's taking place right now this week with the new laws. I want to know which one is driving parents to take their kids, if they're taking their kids out of the schools, to put them in a charter or a private school. Roger, what is the top tier issue?
Yeah.
Want to know what you think. Your call is coming up next at 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 North at 103rd Street, there's an accident involving a truck on the side of the highway. I-10 East at Chaffee, another crash. And at 295 South at Gate Parkway, a broken down car, and now the driver has left the car. The vehicle has been abandoned.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
The year was 1957, and Elvis Presley had the number one hit that year, All Shook Up. And in Liverpool, England, the Cavern Club opened in featured the Beatles, which is where the Fab Five got their start. 1957 was also the year that the Boger family opened their shoe store on Park Street here in Jacksonville.
Since then, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. Boger Shoes specializes in extra-wide width shoes, and they offer free evaluations and fittings by three board-certified podiatrists on staff. With your doctor's prescription, they can custom make orthotics in their on-site lab. And this month, Boger Shoes is featuring the Birkenstock Giza, a proven classic with signature support and an anatomically shaped court latex footbed. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoe success since 1957. Stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger Shoes difference. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet.
Are you having issues with your roof? Hi, AJ Davis here. After a strong storm last summer, I noticed the shingles on my roof were no longer on the roof, so I contacted my friend John about SNC Square Contracting, asked him about his experience. He said, go for it. They put on a new roof, and after two hurricanes and several summer storms, all the shingles are where they should be, no leaks. So protect your home. Call SNC Square LLC, Roofing with Integrity, at 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
For more than 25 years, the potential for health improvement is seen with each patient that walks through our door. Healthcare decisions don't have to be confusing. Make Island Doctors your medical practice.
Now accepting traditional Medicare as well as Humana Gold Medicare Advantage Plan. Call Island Doctors toll-free, 877-434-4676. That's 877-434-4676 for more information or to schedule a tour.
It'll be warm and humid today and then thunderstorms by the afternoon, a high of around 90, partly cloudy this evening, an overnight low of 76, and right now it's 77 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9, Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Starting this week, it'll be a new budget and dozens of new laws are poised to take effect here in the Sunshine State. President Trump says he will have a Supreme Court nominee by July 9th. And a strong U.S. economy will continue to be, contribute to cause a rise in travel this holiday week here in Florida, according to AAA.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
222-TALK, 222-8255. What you just heard before we get to the phones, 105 brand new laws taking place this week coming up as the governor signs in a brand new budget, which, well, he's already has, but it's going to take place. But the nation's first private school voucher program for bullied students in anywhere in the country is happening here in the state of Florida. And pretty much you can transfer to a different public school or receive a private school voucher through the Hope Scholarship Program and go to charter school if you feel that he or she, your student, is first come, first served. That's pretty much.
There's a limited number of these vouchers available then.
Yeah, I mean, but the question is, it's got to be documented. But this is the question I like to ask you. I went to public school, then private school. My mom was a teacher, got degrees. You know, she was a school administrator, public and private. I'm trying to know if there are certain reports. A lot of teachers listen to the show, and I'd like to know from you as well. Are there reports out there that can be documented that if a child is leaving from one school to another within the school district, let's say, for example, in Northeast Florida, what would the conversation be, the reasons why kids are leaving? Is it because of disciplinary? Now, can only give me one. Is it because of the environment? That's a little bit generic, but that's still, I'll put that in one in there, Roger. Is it because of the teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because he or she's being bullied? That would be part of the discipline. Give me another one that I'm missing.
Peer pressure, maybe?
Peer pressure. What do you think when you, either through your personal experience as a parent or from what you talk with friends at schools or, on the golf course or at church, if they're taking their kids out, moving to a different public school, or maybe there's more money going to a different public school, is it going to be renovated?
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen as the number one issue if parents are taking their kids out from a public school, putting them into a different public school, a charter school or a private school? What is those top tier issue? Want to know what you think. What have you seen as the top issue, the reason why parents are taking kids out of the public school and put them to a different school? Want to know what you think. What's your opinion? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Hey, Pam, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey Ed. I've been an educator for 50 years, and my programs have been in public schools all over Northeast Florida. And there's one big difference, the ability to discipline children or the ability not to be able to discipline children. And when there are undisciplined schools, parents want their kids out of there. And it's a culture. And is it a culture because the parents don't discipline at home? I don't know. But I do know that charter schools can kick their kids out and public schools can't. So if you've got a discipline problem, you can get rid of them. In public schools, you got to keep them. Makes it very, very difficult for teachers to be able to teach.
Pam, let me ask you a question. You bring up a very valid point. So before I ask you my main question, let me ask you the first question. You're saying, from what you have seen as your experience as a teacher, the number one issue, whether they're going to a different public school or going to a private school or charter school, is because of disciplinary, correct?
I would say if you have to have just one, that's probably the main one.
Because okay.
A kid can go to a teacher and just say F you and nothing happens. And there's no discipline problem. They can't yank them out, send them home, whatever it is. It's just they're hamstrung.
All right, now let me follow up with my follow-up question. I know, I mean, I'm still very relatively young, but I mean, I can go back and read stories. Even in the public school here in Florida, they still spank students, even in the late 70s. Where did you see this trend? If you had to talk about modern day, 80s, 90s, 2000s, when did things really start going over tilt-wise where disciplinary actions became very laxed?
Well, the school board voted about 5 or 10 years ago in Duval County that they could no longer use corporal punishment, and the African-American principals came to that meeting and asked them, please don't take away this form of discipline.
Wow.
This is what our children understand, and it was a 7-0 vote. So now they have that inability to be able to even give a SWAT. I tell you, I got a SWAT in high school. I never did it again.
Yeah, but Pam, that's interesting. Pam, let me ask you one more other question here. Is that as a former education reporter, I would cover school board meetings for a local newspaper, and it was incredible that, you know, if you got in trouble back in the day, the discretionary was left to the principal and the parents, mostly to the principal, because the principal just didn't make accusations. Now, if your child, you get a hearing, if you get suspended, you get to go in front of the school superintendent. I mean, is that, when did that start kicking in?
Well, I think it's been kicking in all along as our parents have taken the sides of their children instead of the educators, which is a shame. If you're in trouble, you don't stand up for the child. You listen to the teacher and you discipline your child. So it's been a lack of discipline all the way down, and it just gets worse and worse. So I think teachers are being hamstrung very much with discipline problems. And if you can't have discipline in your class, kids can't learn.
Yeah. Pam, it's good to talk to you. Thank you for the input.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to ask, I mean, usually I don't do interviews with Collins, but I mean, you know, I was kind of curious because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, dang if you do, dang if you don't. We got parents, teachers, I think, want to say, rightfully so, hey, our parents aren't doing enough at the home. I understand with certain way the social economic environment is, I get it. But the question comes about is, for example, there was a disciplinary problem in a school. The principal was the final say, okay? And now we got... I mean, let's be honest. Now we've got parents. Well, my little kid can't be that bad, or my son or daughter was falsely accused, or whatever. So we want a hearing. As for example, it's like human resources. They're not happy the way that the operations manager. So now they want to go to the general manager. They're not happy the general manager. Roger, let's go to the regional manager. The question is that still a right way to go, or are we giving too many reasons why to have an appeals process? Mm. If everybody knows that your kid is a troublemaker, how many appeals do you need?
Right. And unfortunately, when that kind of thing happens, they don't respect the authority that they're closest to, because they know that they can simply go over their head and this person's a peon. And they think that about their teachers.
Let's go to James. Hey, James, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I was driving. I was listening to your topic. So I've had children who've been in both public and private.
All right.
They left really great schools, St. John's County, A-rated schools. Schools did an excellent job with them, but it is an environment. It's how it's like the perception. It's like when you come to school, you're there to learn. You're not there to have fun. You're not there to have problems. I think that's the problem, is this perception that the school puts out. Because even in the public schools they were in, it was all about the education.
Right.
They ended up going to Bowles, and you walk around Bowles campus and you see kids, there's backpacks laying around just wide open with, you know, iPads and stuff like that. And
wow.
There's no fear of stuff getting stolen, because do you want to go home and get, hey, your kid's getting expelled from school, thanks for your X amount of thousands of dollars a year, but they can't come to school here? And, I mean, it's just the That's just the way it is.
So what do you think? What do you think the top tier reason why, if you had to pick one, while parents are taking their kids out of public schools and putting them somewhere else?
I believe that education is almost like a sport now. It is that competitive for kids to get scholarships later on for college and everything. So they want my children chose on their own to go to bowls because they wanted to get the best education possible. They were A and B students in their public school, but they had the chance to go there. They toured the school, and that was their decision.
You know, I got to get going because I got to get to the top of the rank. That is a very interesting perspective. Kids are competing for scholarships. That's the reason why we want someone. I never even thought about that. I want to cover that more as we continue to move along. Talk radio, WBOB.
On I-295 North, just before 103rd Street, look out for an accident on the side of the highway.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Wall Street going into a partial work week. Comcast trying to return to normal service. Those stories next.
Hey, this is Ricky from Banyan Hill. I want to get a few things straight. First off, I like freedom. Second, I like money. Fact is, I like freedom and money, which is why I love Freedom Checks, a unique investment that can secure your retirement income without being tied down to the government. And while I'm no genius, I am smart enough to follow an expert like Matt, who showed me how anyone has the chance to stake their claim on an estimated $34.6 billion payout. To get all the details from Matt, just go to myfreedomchecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joppa, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. Now, how much your check is depends on how much you put behind Matt's insights, but the potential here is undeniable. Of course, if you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion, you must have your ducks in a row ASAP. So don't wait. Go see Matt at myfreedomchecks.com. That's www.myfreedomchecks.com.
The 4th of July falls on Wednesday, so this week is a short week for traders. 2 days of trading, followed by a holiday, and then back to normal trading to finish off the week. Some firms may be short-staffed as employees are taking extra days off. Comcast still dealing with the aftermath of Friday's nationwide service interruption. Customers lost their internet service, cable TV operations, and Comcast telephone operations as well. Two major lines down, one from New York to Chicago, the other in South Carolina, affecting Comcast's Xfinity platform as well. 43,000 Uber drivers working in New York City now get vision care and other health services paid for by a 2.5% surcharge, which begins today. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 and 11 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Hi. This is Matt Caldwell, and I'm running to be your Commissioner of Agriculture. My family has been in Florida since 1826, but whether you came here 2 or 200 years ago, we all know that this state is the best place to live, work, and raise a family. For the past 8 years in the Florida House, I've been fighting for our conservative values. In that time, we cut billions in taxes, balanced our budget every year, and removed government barriers to job growth and success. I've fought for term limits and to protect the unborn. I've always been a passionate defender of our Constitution, and I know that our rights come from God, not from politicians. When the liberals tried to take our guns away, I was at the forefront of the battle to protect our Second Amendment rights. I'm the only candidate in this race that stood consistently for our rights, and I'm proud to have the endorsement of the National Rifle Association. I'm Matt Caldwell, and I'm asking for your vote. To learn more, please visit votecaldwell.org. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Matt Caldwell, Republican for Commissioner of Agriculture.
Warm and humid today and a high of around 90. Thunderstorms by the afternoon. Tonight partly cloudy with an overnight low of 76. Right now it's 77 here at WBOB.
222-TALK, 222-8255. A lot of emails on this issue, Roger, especially on the issue of education. I never thought of it. Jamie brings up a good point about kids going to another school for college scholarship. That's a great one. I totally forgot about that. Competitive. Mm-hmm. But then again, the school unions, they don't like that. It's too competitive out there. So one of the big questions we're asking this morning, why are parents taking their kids out of public schools into private schools? Is it disciplinary education?